Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals, all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my very good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how's it hanging?
It's hanging long.
Okay. what's happening in your world?
Oh, nothing much. This past Monday, we got like damn near a foot of snow, and then yesterday it was 70 degrees. So, you know, normal stuff.
Yeah, it's going all over the place. I don't even know what the weather is going to be like this week. But hopefully we'll get... Oh, no, all over the place. That's good.
The planet is fine.
63 down to 47, up to 65, down to 43. Just, you know, it's to satisfy everyone.
Yeah.
What kind of weather do you like? We'll have it this week.
Yeah, weather really is like an ice cream shop.
Yes, and everyone wants different flavors.
Yep.
Of ice cream, even though some of those people are wrong.
Yes, exactly.
People who like winter?
Wrong.
Check yourself. Check yep. yourself.
Check your privilege.
Yeah.
I feel like people that like winter like it because they don't have to like interact with it.
Sure. Yes. I have a group of friends who really loves every time it snows and gets very excited, and I am always negative on snow. And then this winter season, we've had two snows of multiple feet, which they haven't liked. And I'm like, this is the thing.
Yeah, this is my what whole, you want.
I'm being proven right here.
Uh-huh.
I am correct. Snow is bad. You don't want any snow. There's no positive. As an adult, look, as a child, okay, you might get a snow day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can go out and you can play in the snow, I guess. As an adult, what is the benefit?
Yeah, it's you're going to have either a shitty commute, you're not going to be able to make it to work, or and then you have to come home, clean it all up, or you have to clean it up before you go to work.
And I would say, especially living in New York, you're not walking out your front door and playing in the snow.
No.
In any way.
It immediately turns gray when it touches the ground.
Correct. But also, where are you, you know, you're not going to run it out into the road and yeah. play in the snow. Like, no. They're wrong. We got to get to spring and then get to summer. Of course, summer has its own problems, but... I'm a fall guy.
Yeah, I'm a fall guy aside from having to mess with leaves. I hate.
Oh, sure. Raking. Yeah, I don't have to do that. So I don't have that problem.
It's always the case of I do some raking and then I look outside and suddenly the entire lawn is full again, even though all of my trees had shit out all their leaves. And it's like, what happened? Where did this
come from?
They come
from other places.
Uh-huh.
They're like, oh, here's a nice spot, an empty spot. Yeah, I guess I don't have to. I mean, with snow, I also don't have to deal with shoveling snow.
You're so lucky.
You know, I have to deal with walking in snow.
Yeah, that's no good either.
But so fall is the best season. We all agree. And what else do we agree on? That it was an exciting 2 weeks of Joshi action. Over the last 2 weeks. I would say so. And I think many people would agree. Lots of things happening.
Many people are saying
some interesting Joshi action. We will get to it. Stardom, Tokyo Joshi, some Marigold, some other things, some big previews coming up. But before we do that, we got to get on our plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Aimbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So the most significant event of the last 2 weeks was the quarterfinals, semifinals and finals of Stardom's Cinderella tournament. We covered the first couple of shows last episode. The first show in the last 2 weeks was on March 11th at Corican Hall. 4 Cinderella tournament matches, also a Future of Stardom title match sandwiched in between them perfectly. Kelly, what did you think of the show? What did you think of the Cinderella tournament matches?
I thought they were all pretty solid. I will say my favorite was Hanun beating Maki Ito. I thought that was really good. I actually went 4 stars on it. Thought it was it showed that Ito can work here. You know, she's not totally washed. And I really liked how it was a very technical match from Ito, just attacking Hanan's back so she couldn't use the throws. And then Hanun eventually had to resort to fancy roll-ups to get the win. So I really enjoyed that. That was maybe my favorite match of the tournament, to be honest.
I thought it was a strong group of matches. I was actually surprised going on Cage Match after watching to discover that Rina and Sayaka Carrara is at least currently the best rated match of the four of them. Cause I really liked the main event with Miyu and Hina. And I actually also really liked Aya Sakura and Rion. So I thought it was a very strong grouping of matches. I think they've done a really good job, and I don't know, maybe this is recency bias or, not hindsight bias, but it feels like they've done a very good job this year, or maybe a little bit stronger than previous years, of showing off this younger class.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the matches have all been very good, and they're all, you know, by and large, I don't know if you call Maki Ito a young wrestler, but, you know, new to the company, showing off sort of these lower card wrestlers. I think it's done a very good job. I think even in some of these people losing have looked very good. I think it's been a very good tournament for elevating these people because, you know, they've got a big roster. It's often hard to get these people into spots where they can sort of shine, at least for extended periods of time. And I think this tournament has been very good and proven here with, I thought for, you know, I thought the baseline of these matches was like very good. I thought most of them were very good. And, you know, the Miyu Hina match, Rion, I thought were very, you know, very, very good. So I thought it was very successful. As I said, sandwich in between the two of those, Hanako defeating Yuria Hime for the Future of Stardom title match. Very importantly, Rani Yagami came out afterwards to challenge, which will play off in a few minutes on this episode. But yeah, I thought a very good show, a very good quarterfinal group of matches.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the 15th, we had both the semifinals and the final match. The two semifinals, Hanan defeating Aya Sakura and Rina defeating Miyu Amasaki there. Two matches, I thought these were solid. I thought they were probably a little bit of a step down from the quarterfinal show matches. But that sort of makes sense. You got to wrestle later in the show. You're not trying to, you know.
Yeah.
Outdo your own self on the first and second matches of the show. So makes sense. I thought solid, interesting results. And that then of course got us to the finals where Hanan defeated Rina in 22 minutes. I thought this was very good. I actually was sort of surprised. The Wrestling Observer, I believe, went 4 3/4 on this match. I was not that high.
That's a crazy rating.
I was probably around, and Kelly, I don't know where you were. I was probably in the neighborhood of 4 1/4.
I would
probably be mine.
I was 3 3/4.
I thought it was very good, but when I saw that, and I will say for comparison, the cage match rating is 8.78, which if you make it out of 5 is sort of like between 4 1/4 and 4 1/2. So it does seem oddly like Dave was the high man on this. But I thought very good, sort of a definitive win for Hanan, who I think now officially should really start to get the big push.
Please let her be
tag champion. Now has won Cinderella tournament. So, seems to be the moment to really go all in on her, a match I really enjoyed. Kelly, any thoughts on the three Cinderella tournament matches?
I thought Hanan versus Aya Sakura was like a really good high action opener. I went 3.5 on that. I was a bit disappointed by Rina beating Miyu Amasaki. I've talked about this before, but I feel like I'm definitely the low man on Rina. And it kind of solidified why in this match to me. I think she kicks out of way too much stuff when she's winning a match. And it's fairly easy to tell that early on. Like, to me, the moment that was most ridiculous was when she kicked out of an avalanche DDT that actually was a setup for another move. Like, that's, come on, you're doing too much. And you can always see her watching the referee's hand as he counts. So it's like, okay, she's kicking out of that one. But yeah, that's always kind of been my issue with Rina, and I thought it really showed here. The match itself was decent enough, but again, I feel like an old man saying they did too much. So I went 3 on that one. The finals I thought was very good. The cop killer that Rina hit on Hanan looked insane.
Yeah. I was like, God bless you for taking that, because I would not do... Because it's like one of those things where it's... You're like, oh, it appears you can barely get this person up for this move, and then they're going to trust you to drop them on their head.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy looking. I do feel like it kind of restrained Rina's tendencies to kick out of everything a bit, though, like, because she wasn't winning here. So I think it wasn't as excessive as the previous match. So I liked it. I went 3 3/4. I wouldn't go anywhere near as high as the Observer, but it was a good tournament and a good finals.
And then Kelly trademark blackface scandal after the match.
She wins a tournament and then gets implicated in a blackface scandal immediately. You hate to see it.
I don't know that it's great for you, Kelly, that when I think of, oh, someone's having a blackface scandal, I think of you.
Look, I trademarked it.
Yeah. You know. But also
I'm
not
just calling out injustice, okay?
Yes, of course. And where a better place to start than the women's pro wrestling scene in a country where you don't live.
Exactly.
But also a newsworthy show, not just for the Cinderella tournament results, but two title changes, one probably more important to the Stardom viewership than the other, I would probably imagine. But Rana Yagami defeating Hanako to win the Future of Stardom title. So we have a new Future of Stardom champion who will defend their title for the first time very soon. And then the other title, the CMLL Japan women's title, India Sue defeating Hazuki in 15 minutes and 16 seconds to win that title. Kelly, any thoughts about those?
Future Stardom title, I was very happy to see Rana win, especially because I don't think Hanako is very good. And a lot of times with this title, you will see wrestlers step up and really come into themselves as they have this title and have this run. I don't feel like Hanako got any better, and it might be time to cut bait. So I'm glad they're giving the belt to Rana. I think she'll have a great run. The CMLL title, I thought this was a horrible match. I don't know about you. It felt like I was watching them wrestle in slow motion, and I do not put any of the blame on Hazuki in this case. She did her best, but boy howdy, India Sue, real bad. I think I just, I rated that a 1.5 stars, and I think that was kind of generous.
I can't say that I really have any investment in the CMLL Japan women's title.
Yeah,
To be quite honest. A title that, correct me if I'm wrong, was won by, didn't Koguma win it by, like, there was that weird
someone
knockout.
Got hurt. Yeah.
Dark Saluda, is that who it was? Yes. And has always just sort of felt like, oh, why is this happening?
Oh, this is here on accident. Okay.
Also very funny to look at the history of this title, because up until I would say the beginning of 2025, really not a lot happening. It was held by Dalis La Carabina for 1,326 days.
An unprecedented reign.
From January of 2020 to September of 2023. Dark Saluda then held it for 285 days. Unagi Sayaka had it for 246 days. It's like a slow go down. Although Hazuki had it for 155 days. So will it remain in Stardom? I hope not.
Yeah, I would rather it just go away.
So that was the two big Stardom shows of the past 2 weeks. Marigold had a Korakuen Hall.
There was still the main event of the Cinderella show.
Yes.
Yeah, you had Cosmic Angels. You had Sayaka Carrera pinning Saya Kamatani clean in the main event, which was wild.
Yes, clearly a big Saya hanging around also during Sayaka's Cinderella match, which we didn't mention. So clearly that story is continuing to build. I mean, that's been sort of a long term story, which is good to see.
And they may be using this story to get rid of Cosmic Angels.
We'll have to see. And then another Corican Hall show was the Marigold Corican Hall show. The three big matches there, of course, the most anticipated match of the year. Megaton defeating Kurishio Tokyo Japan in 9 minutes and 24 seconds to win the independent junior heavyweight title. So happy to see Megaton as champion. How well deserved that is.
Yeah, I mean, I bet the crowd went wild.
And then the Darkness Revolution duo of Chiaki and Misa Matsui defeated Koke Amore and Miko Aono to retain the Marigold Twin Star titles. And Irina Yamanaka, Mai Sakurai, and Natsumi Shozuki made their first successful defense of the 3D Trios titles, defeating Komomo Minami, Mayu Iwatani, and Victoria Yuzuki. So that was the Marigold Korakuen Hall show. Seedling had their latest show, again with the semifinals of their tournament. Ayame Sasamura defeating Nagisa Nosaki to get to the finals. And Hiroyo Matsumoto defeating Mio Shirai to both retain the Beyond the Sea title and make it to the finals. So it will be Hiroyo Matsumoto versus Ayame Sasamura for the Beyond the Sea title. Frankly, if I were Seedling, I would put that title on Ayame.
Yeah, why not?
There's no reason not to. There's not a lot happening, really, in that promotion. So would be good to do that. Then one of the other notable events of the last 2 weeks was Tokyo Joshi's tour through the wilds of Texas. Two nights in Austin, a night in Dallas, and actually, I think as we speak, Kelly,
yes,
the second Dallas event is beginning or has already started or will be starting very soon as we're talking here. So we will only be covering the first three nights of action. I guess, Kelly, I'll ask you generally first your thoughts sort of on all three shows sort of as a whole.
As a whole, I enjoyed them all quite a bit. The Tokyo Joshi team always brings it when they come to the States, and I thought they've done a really good job of presenting what feels like an authentic Tokyo Joshi show. And the crowds have been great. I will say that 100% the crowds have been awesome, despite the third show them running a far too big venue and it looking pretty bad, even though the crowd was really good.
And they drew a good number.
Or yeah,
they
it was just
a good number or whatever.
The building was just too damn big. Like, it's even with the number they had, you could tell it was a lot of people, but like directly next to the people are just giant empty sections of seats.
I mean, I don't know what the attendance is going to be for today's show, but they're going to do like between the four shows, like probably 6,000 people.
Yeah, that's really good.
Which is crazy because it was like, oh, this is not going well. I mean, the first show in Austin drew 1951. Is that the all-time? What did they draw last year? Because that was the all-time record, right?
I think, yeah, I feel like last year was probably bigger.
When was that show? That show was in...
Was that with All in Texas?
Oh, live in, okay. It was one of these shows. 415. Okay, it was the Dallas one. 2540.
Yeah, okay, that show is the was record. Packed.
That is the record. But still very good numbers. I thought first show, sort of solid, if not maybe a little unspectacular. I thought the 18th show, the second night in Austin, and the 21st show, which was the first night in Dallas, were both excellent shows.
Yes.
I thought they were legitimately good shows. I have one major complaint about all of these shows, Kelly.
Okay.
Can you guess what my major complaint is?
The commentary team always calling her Suzumi.
Oh, no. Although that was quite funny. And then at one point calling Rika Raku and you know, different things.
I think at one point they called Rika Tatsumi Raku Suzumi.
I will say for Rich and Veda, I think that having them consistently on commentary for these shows has helped.
Yes.
Because it feels like they at least have some passing familiarity with the product. They bring excitement. So I thought they, you know, sort of these minor things aside, I thought they were very solid.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the bit on the third show when Rich Bocchini was talking about Hyper Miss Sao and was like, damn, would have been great if she was around in November of 1962. And I'm like,
I didn't even hear that. I missed that. Like,
we're just making a weird JFK joke because I love it.
No, Kelly. My one major issue is the debut of Sakura Hattori.
Really? Okay.
Here's what I'll say. I actually thought the third night, the Uta Takami match, to me, that should have been first. That should have been the debut. Because
the first match was not a great debut. It was a solid enough match, but boy howdy did they just work that as a back and forth even match when that is not what it should have been at all.
Correct. Look, I understand this is Tokyo Joshi outside of, you know, and maybe not even outside of Max the Impaler, because Max the Impaler comes in and has these 50-50 matches. What this needed, it's Shino Suzuki.
Yeah.
She is not at the very bottom, you know, pecking order wise, but she's maybe what, three people from the bottom of this promotion? It's like Shion, who's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
She's in like the Palm Harajuku Raku group to me, in terms of she needs no protecting.
Right.
She doesn't win matches. You know, she has this character. She's in Up Up Girls, whatever. It should have come out and it should have been like, we're doing a 4-minute match where Sakura Hattori is going to hit all her new big moves and win.
Yeah, she should have just blitzed her.
Like, yes, it's not going to be like a typical like 30-second squash, fine. What I need to know is, here's the person. The look, I think, is pretty solid.
The look is cool.
The look is
this
good.
This honestly feels like what they should have always done with Mocha's gear.
Yes. But then it was like the rest, it feels weirdly like, who's the high flying one? Why am I losing my mind here? Not
Sugi?
Is it Shion? No, the new one who does the crazy flip that I was
Whoa.
Oh,
shit. The one that I called Sugi.
Yeah. I'm blanking on it now.
I cannot
but anyway,
remember her name.
It feels like they debuted and all of a sudden they were like, well, Kaya, you can't be the flipping wrestler anymore because you're not as good as this other girl. And so they were like, oh, you need to be like jiu-jitsu striker. And I'm like, but that's not really her strength. It's like, okay, it's all good. She has the new gimmick. Fine. She's, you know, it looks good. It was just sort of like, oh, here she comes for a big dropkick. And I was like, oh, that dropkick looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
I hate the top rope.
That was bad.
I'm going to stand on the top rope and fist, point, screw, ha, hey, who. As, by the way, in the second match, skipping ahead to the Hyper Masao match, Hyper Masao stands up and is just standing there and she's going, ha, ha, who, he, ha, and then jump and then just sort of like falls off the top rope.
Does one of the worst forearms off the top rope you'll ever see.
Like she goes to do this flying forearm and it's just like her falling off the top rope.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if she did that and then she came and she was like, wham, and you were like, oh my God, it would be different. The first time she did it in the Shino match, I thought, oh, she's meant to do one pose and then strike, but Shino isn't on her feet yet.
Yeah, well.
I thought, oh, she's stalling. And then during the hyper match, I was like, no, this is like a whole set of moves she does before hitting her opponent. And I just thought the first match, I was like, okay, so you have told me that this person is the equivalent, you know, she beat Shino, but in took her 9 minutes. So you're telling me this person is slightly better than one of the lowest pecking order wrestlers on your roster. Like, am I supposed to be excited about that? Like, ah, this person came out and barely won their match. That's exciting.
Yeah.
You know, at least with the Hyper match, it's like, okay.
That's a big win.
Hyper's a former tag champion. She's a staple of the promotion. Like, to me, I would have done Uda first, because I thought that Uda match was good.
That one I need to go back for. I missed it because I had joined the show in progress.
I thought it was, you know, and I'll say this about another match in the weekend. Uda's good.
Uda's very good.
She's good. I was, you know, she was in that 318 main event. I'm like, and with, you know, Miyu Watanabe, Suzume, and Mizuki. I'm like, she's holding her own. She's good in this match.
Yeah, I think the tag team with Mizuki is inspired at this point. Like, I never would have put those two together, but they are great.
Like, and you have her come out first with Uda. She beats Uda. You're like, okay, Uda's not at the top of the, you know, thing, but she, you know, main evented on the 18th. She's not a, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
So I just thought these were all backwards, and it was a thing where I was like, oh, this is exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing this wrestler. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, like, what are they going to do with her? That was the other thing. She came out, she has this sort of serious, you know, I'm a ninja. I've been off in the woods and I have, you know, been doing X, Y, and Z thing. It's sort of a serious gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I think, would lead to you saying, okay, she's going to get a push up the card, but it certainly doesn't seem from these matches like I'm like, oh, she's going to be rocketing up the card.
Yeah.
Soon.
It's interesting. I feel like we're seeing a bit of a change in Tokyo Joshi to be somewhat more serious. Like, I think this gimmick could contribute to that. And I definitely feel like the build between Miyu Watanabe and Yuki Arai has that a lot. I mean, the main event of the 17 show, Miyu pins Arai, and then it ends with Arai like laying on the ground and Miyu kind of shoving the belt in her face. Like, that's just something you don't really see in Tokyo Joshi.
Yeah, and it could be. I was excited. We've talked on this show over and over again about, you know, why is Kaya Toribami just sort of randomly wandering about the lower card of this promotion. You know, the look is there, but it's like, oh, also maybe taking away, it's like, oh, don't be a high flyer. Don't do those things that you were good at and looked cool. Like, do these other things. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Like, I understand if you're like, okay, we don't want six high, quote unquote, high flying wrestlers of all various sort of different skill levels. But I don't know. To me, it was the one thing on these shows that I was like, this is a fail.
Also, the inspiration, not good.
Well, I'll say this for the inspiration. In ring, no, it's not happening. They have got to go into Grand Princess, and they have got to be the most over-the-top American heels they can be.
Yeah.
Because when they were doing that and the crowd was booing them, I was like, look, the in-ring is nothing. There's nothing happening here, but at least it's sort of fun.
It's got heat, brother.
Like, the crowd's booing them, you know. I was like, okay, this is something. It's not what I would prefer to be watching. But, you know, It's getting a reaction. It's something different because there really aren't that many heels. There really are no heels.
No.
In Tokyo Joshi. So I'm like, okay, it would be a change of pace where, you know, I don't know what the card order is going to be, but it's possible it's sandwiched between Mirai and Suzume and the main event.
Most likely, yeah.
There's a big possibility of that. I wouldn't be, you know, Mirai, Suzume could be very good. Very good in ring. Probably going to be very strong in ring. The main event. Big story, obviously. Probably going to be very good in ring. I wouldn't be super mad about something in the middle of that being like, we're just like over the top heels. Because
here,
also...
Here, go to the bathroom.
Yeah. I'm not even saying go to the bathroom. I'm like, you're not, let's say, okay, we're like, oh, maybe the inspiration could be good in the ring. Are they going to be better in the ring than the two other title matches?
Nope.
No. Like, so do something else.
Yeah.
At least then I'm like, oh, you're doing a fun, like, oh, you're over the top, like cheat. You know, that never happens. I can't believe I'm advocating for that. But like, you know. Cheat behind the referee's back. That doesn't happen in Tokyo Joshi a lot.
Work a Southern style tag.
Yeah.
Work over Wakana until you get the big Kamiyu hot tag and she starts booting people in the face.
You know, and it isn't like the other side, frankly, is, you know, we're not talking about, you know, the Rockers on the other side or something, you know. We're not talking about Strike Force.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, okay, at least there's something I can be like, okay, there could be something here, because I said I haven't seen these people wrestle. I may have never seen them wrestle. Maybe they'll be good. They weren't, but they could do something that isn't, oh, let's go and just try and have a great in-ring match, because that's going to be a nothing.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
So that was my thought. I mean, I think that's also probably the reason why the first show, to me, it was the initial impression of Hattori and the inspiration match, where I'm like, okay, this show is solid. Like, okay, this is what I expect from a company coming over to America and being like, we're doing an American show connected to an anime convention. Like, okay, it was fine. Now, the difference was the following night had a great semi-main, an excellent semi-main, maybe the best of the best match of all three shows, I would say, and a really good main event.
Yeah.
Like, that main event was great. That was the main event with Udo, where I was like, you're in there with three of the best wrestlers in the company. And I'm not, when you get in the ring, I'm not going, oh, okay, I'm waiting for someone else to get in there and really fight. I'm like, she was going. And then, of course, it seems tradition now. I mean, I know it's only now been 2 years, but that they just plug two of these veterans in to a random spot on these cards and are like, go out and have a killer match. And that was Miyu and Choco having a great match.
I mean, I think the main on the 21st was my favorite.
Oh, interesting. Another match I did like, but that singles match I thought was great.
Yeah.
You know, Choco, we've talked about a lot. You know, when I started watching Tokyo Joshi, however many years ago that was, like, Choco was the person I took to last, because I was like, I don't really understand this whole furry thing. I don't really know. I mean, she goes in there, and you know that there's going to be a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially with Miyu, it's like automatic, where it was like, this was great, main event was great. And then they sort of did it again the following day with that tag team match.
Yeah, they ran it back.
Which had the added effect of adding in the Miyu Watanabe and Yuki Arai stuff, with Arai hitting the finally.
And pretty flush, too.
Yes, for the first time, not to win the match, but to essentially get Miyu out of the match. So I thought that was really well done. I think the undercard probably of the 21st was, like, full show-wise, I think the 18th for me probably was the strongest show in totality. But I thought it was a strong show. Of course, I talked all that about Shino and Shino pinning Mifu. So Kelly, I think your dreamed push is not arriving.
No, sure isn't.
Mifu. you know, I think sometimes the like palm Raku stuff after like 3 days in a row is sort of like, I get it. Like, thank you. But like, I like the three-way match.
I thought that was a lot of fun.
That was, you know, done on the fly. Mizuki diving off the entryway, which I'm like, oh, that doesn't really ever happen in Tokyo Joshi. The bike shattering?
Just falling apart.
And Hyper being like, I know what I'll do. I'll just randomly pick it up and run with it. And then just throw myself into these chairs.
I appreciate the commitment.
But yeah, I mean, the main event by far, the highlight of that show for me. We'll see. I don't even know what is at the top of the card for the show that's happening right now.
Do we even know? I don't recall.
Okay.
I feel like I saw the card earlier today and I was like, that's weird. Like, it just seems like an odd grouping this time.
Let me see, because I'm turning on the show. Oh, God. I'm turning on the show now.
Okay, I've got it.
To try and find the card. Oh, I have it as well. Miyu and Miyu versus Choco and Yuki.
No.
No. Wait, what? No, because I'm watching something right now, but it looks like the show is over.
Okay.
Miyu and Miyu versus Choco and Yuki.
The graphic I'm looking at had...
Oh, no.
Event was... What? Rika Tetsumi, Arisu Endo, and Miyu Watanabe facing Uda, Mizuki, and Shoko Nakajima.
Oh, I see. The Dallas show is still in the schedule to stream.
I think, yeah, I think it starts in like 15 minutes.
Confusingly. Oh, yeah, starts at 3 p.m. local time. Yes,
so,
which
yeah,
is 15
minutes.
Minutes. Okay.
That so show also has Kamiyu and Wakana versus Miyu Yamashita and Kaylia Capri. Don't know
her. Yes, who she was on the Houston shows last year.
Oh, okay.
She was in one of the matches.
Yuki Arai versus Pom Harajuku in a match I don't think I would have booked. Because that sure is a weird place to stick Arai. Like, why isn't she in that main event?
Yeah, it does seem like you would have flip-flopped. Well, I don't know how much they were trying to draw. I don't know what venue they're in, I realize. Maybe they're just like, we're here. We might as well run Houston.
Yeah, you've got Yuki Aino and the Vertical Vixen against Shino Suzuki and Suzume.
No, I think they're in the same place they were last year, which was that weird mall.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I think that's where they are. So I'm imagining they're like, oh, we're only going to draw like a couple hundred people anyway.
Yeah.
Because I think they drew 400 or something and people were like standing on the stairs.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So anyway, don't know what's going to happen with that show because it hasn't happened yet. But anyway, three good shows, three quick shows too.
Yes.
I think the longest one, actually the issue I had with the first show was that it cut off the beginning of the first match and the end of the last match.
Yeah, that kind of, when I started it, it was like all of a sudden just matches going. It's like, wait, what? Yeah.
Well, and I was like, okay, let me fast forward a couple of seconds through the up, up girls. And then it was like the middle of the first match. And I was like, what happened? What did I do? And then I was like, oh, it's just missing that part of it. So, and that was the longest show at like 2 hours and 10 minutes. So, I mean, relatively easy shows to get through, enjoyable crowd. Again, big props to all three crowds who were very much into everything. So really helped. What else happened? Wave had two shows on the 20th and 21st with lots of action as Kohaku and Momoka Hanazono defeated Haruka Umasaki and Hanaka on the 20th to win the Wave tag team titles. And then the very next day on the 21st, they lost those titles to Rina Amakura and Yuko Sakurai. So two champions in 2 days. Kelly, what has been going on in Choco Pro?
On the 20th, there was a Super Asia title match with Rina Yamashita defeating Hiyori Iwata. It was announced recently Iwata is graduating from Choco Pro on the 24th. It looks like she graduated like actual school and is starting a real job that takes her out of the Tokyo area. So she is retiring from wrestling.
All right. And then the other big show of the last 2 weeks, Serism 10 from Yokohama Budokan. I haven't watched this show yet, but it drew, I believe, 2,694 fans, something like that.
Damn.
So the biggest Joshi show of the year, headlined by Seri and Takumi Aroha, taking on Chihiro Hashimoto and Tsuri, which
that sounds awesome.
I've heard very good things about, so looking forward to watching that, but I haven't watched it yet, and I did.
That's one of those where it's like the floor is 4.5.
Yeah, should be very good. And Kelly, for you, I just want to call this out because I know that you'll really be interested in this match.
Ooh.
The original advertisement was a mystery opponent facing off against Kurishio Tokyo Japan.
Oh no.
That wrestler. Oh, no. Can you guess who that might be?
Is it Sakura Hirota doing
yes it is.
Doing the Tokyo Kurishiro gimmick?
It is Sakura Hirota.
I fucking knew it.
So make sure you check that out, Kelly.
That could be the worst match of the year.
Maybe.
Remember, anyway, I was thinking the other day, remember how Jiro was in WWE?
Yes.
And he had a tag team with Kushida and their name was Jacket Time?
I vaguely remember that, yes.
That's crazy. That's insane that that's a thing that actually happened.
All right. So what is coming up in Joshi in the next 2 weeks? New Blood 30 will be happening on March 25th in Stardom. Rani Yagami making her first defense of the Future of Stardom title against Aya Sakura. And they have a Korakuen Hall show. Stardom has a Korakuen Hall show on the 31st. I don't believe anything is announced for that show yet at this moment in time. But that will be coming up. Tokyo Joshi, of course, Grand Princess 26 on March 29th, the biggest show of the next 2 weeks. The card is as follows. The card will open with Uta Takami and going up against Shion Kanzaki. There will be an Iron Man heavy metal weight title staggered entry battle royal. I believe at the time of recording, the current Iron Man heavy metal weight champion is Minoru Suzuki. So if he is still the champion in 1 week, which seems doubtful, He will defend against a whole host of people. Sumire Usaka, Rika Tatsumi, who's going by the great Wakabayashi-kun, Raku, Mihiro Kiryu, Mifu Ishida, Kira Summer, Chika Nanase, Sakura Hattori, Matcha, Momo Sato, and Minimo, the mascot, who will be wrestling Kelly. What odds do you think this ends with Mihiro Kiryu regaining this title?
Extremely high.
I would put it at about 85%.
Yeah.
Then the next match will be Himawari and Shino Suzuki taking on Toga and Ren Kanatsu. Ren Kanatsu is who I was thinking of, by the way. High-flying wrestler.
Ah, yes.
That I couldn't think of. Shoko Nakajima, Yuki Aino, and Haru Kazushiro, accompanied by ninjas and
various types
of red people.
Buddy, I am fired up about the goofball match.
We'll take on Aja Kong, Max the Impaler, and Palm Harajuku.
We're getting fucking Super Sentai Reds in here? Hell yeah. It's going to be great.
Mizuki will take on Andres the Giant Panda. Mizuki's hammer got stolen.
I have an update. The current Iron Man heavy metalweight champion is Antonio Honda.
Oh, well, there we go. Already changing from when I made our run list about 1 hour ago. Okay, so he will be in the match, but of course could lose the title at any moment and won't be in the match. Mizuki versus Andres the Giant Panda. Miyu Yamashita and Ariso Endo will team to take on Seri and Takumi Aroha.
That sounds awesome.
In the Thank You TNA match.
Yes.
because I don't even remember her name. Zaya Lee from NXT.
Ye Young Lee or something?
Unfortunately had to drop out because I believe she will be on TNA Sacrifice.
Yeah.
And replacing her is Takumi Aroha, an incredible upgrade.
Yes.
And a match where I went from being like, oh, this could be pretty good, to being like, oh yeah, this is
yeah.
gonna be this is
hell
gonna,
yeah.
This is gonna I'm
this
like
could this, be the best match of
it
the
could
show.
Could be the match of the show. It's really amazing to me going these next four matches, the really up and down of what could happen with these matches. The next match, a special tag match. Yuka Sakazaki will team with Konosuke Takeshita to take on Hyper Masao and Super Sasadango Machine. So that could be interesting. I think I was more interested in the Yuka Takeshita team than the Hyper Sasadango Machine.
Oh, really?
Side. Yeah. Yes, I must admit.
Huh.
But then we get to what they call the business end of the card, the International Princess title match, the champion Mirai taking on Suzume. Now, there has been some kerfuffle about this because I believe on the Las Vegas show, their initial announcement was that there would be an International Princess title match on the show. But then the promotion came out and said that Mirai can't make the date because she has a Michinoku Pro show that she has to go to, which seems to give away that she'll be winning the title if they care enough to come out and tell everyone that she's double booked. But maybe it's a purposeful swerve. Of everyone, you know, that Tokyo Joshi is so famous for.
Uh-huh. They're always
swerving their audience. So we'll see. I guess the story is former partners, and you're saying, oh, Suzume surpassed Mirai. I mean, that would be a good story, but I'm like, if Suzume doesn't win, who's taking this title from Mirai, and like, what is the story there?
The great Sasuke.
We'll see.
The great Sasuke is beating Mirai for the title in Michinoku Pro, and then it will be defended in the Great Space War.
Then the semi-main event will be the Princess Tag Team title match. The champions Ober Eats, Yuki Kamifuku, and Wakina Uehara will defend against the Inspiration, Jesse McKay, and Cassie Lee. Now, another important possible spoiler is that there will be a Princess Tag Team title match on the Las Vegas show. It will be the winner of this match, but they did announce that the Inspiration will be on that show.
So no matter what, you're getting that tag title match.
So, yes, but is that another, I mean, is that another sort of give that they're going to be there, that they're going to win the titles? I mean,
I sure hope not.
Who's to say? but possibly. And then the big main event, what it's all been leading to, all this back and forth. Really, I'm trying to think of another even example. The most well-built title match.
Yeah.
That Tokyo Joshi has done in at least quite a while.
Mm-hmm, 100%. They've built ever. This so well.
I mean, Yuki's winning, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know that you spend all this time being like, ah, she's toughening up, she's doing all this, and then you go, I mean, I guess they did it with, like, Maki Ito,
yeah.
But I have a feeling they feel very differently about Yuki than they do about, or they did about Maki Ito.
But the problem here is that Miyu has shown herself to be a legit draw, and I don't know if you want to derail that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be very interested to see what attendance this show does, because between that and it really feels to me like they are working to get people into the building.
Yes.
With this one. More than really any show that since maybe their first big show where it was like, it's a big show, you got to be there. There's all these sort of DDT crossover storylines, and there's the, you know, oh, we got to go out and we got to get celebrities, and we're bringing in the singer, and we're bringing in the Sentai people. Like, it feels like they are trying to make this a big deal.
It feels like a big DDT show.
Yeah. Yes, it does. So I don't know if they do that and then they draw a big number and they're like, well, it's because we put all this promotional effort behind it, or if they think it's Miyu. But I just don't like, they clearly have Yuki on this path of, you know, we've talked about it before. I think that they've sort of slightly overestimated her potential, like bringing people in, like drawing power. Like, I think they think she's a big draw, and I just don't see that anywhere.
I think they're finally putting work into her. I think they've realized that. And they're like, hey, maybe we should actually do something with her besides look at the famous person, which turns out she's not all that famous, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting question of whether it's like, okay, she isn't that huge draw that we thought from SKE 48, but there are people invested, and maybe if we put some effort into it, it will be, you know, the big thing. It's also, you know, if you look at the construction of the roster in the top end, you know, the top end wrestlers are the two Miyus, Mizuki, Shoko, and that's it. Am I missing anyone? Am I not thinking of anyone?
I think you got everybody, unless we're forgetting someone incredibly obvious.
And to me, the biggest things are, it really appears to me that Miyu Yamashita is, like, she's in a way, in DDT, and I actually haven't watched DDT in a bit. She's in that sort of Hiroshima place.
Yes.
Where it's like, this person is a big deal. They are not going to be the champion of this promotion.
No, and if they ever do, you know something has gone terribly wrong and they had to break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah, but it's like, great, they're going to be in great matches, but they can lose those matches. And also, if they were ever like, well, I got signed by AEW, it would be like, oh, bummer, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like Shoko sort of feels in that same position as well, where it feels like the two of them are sort of post crest, like post mountaintop sort of thing, where 2 or 3 years ago it was like, okay, who is at the top of this promotion? It's Yuka, it's Miyu, it's Shoko, and then Mizuki.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be the top. They were always competing for the title. It feels a little past. And it's like, okay, we've established Miyu, Watanabe, I should say. This new generation is Miyu, I would say Suzume, Arisa, and you would think probably Yuki Arai. And I would think sooner rather than later, they want to make a big deal out of someone other than Miyu because they need to.
Yeah.
It needs to be like, this is the new generation, and the new generation is this, or these people, and not point to these people and be like, oh, Yuki Arai is the new generation, and the best thing she did is she had the tag titles a long time ago. Like, not to disparage her in any way, but it's like, that was the last really big thing she did.
Oh, for sure.
And, you know, I think they're also... You know, and Suzume and I think Arisa are sort of coming from behind. You know, you have Mizuki, who I think can still slot into that. Like, if she's going to win again, I think she could win the title again.
Oh, absolutely.
Because she was sort of the last of that previous generation. So she still is sort of splitting the difference. But it's like you have to make this new level of people, because then you make them and you've got to start making the next level. And I just think Yuki losing, you're like, okay, she loses. What do you do with her? And it also becomes a thing where it's like, oh, is this going to be another person who never wins?
Mm-hmm.
Like the big one, which is the problem that they've had in the past. I don't know. I just think at this point, Miyu's had the title for a bit. It's her second reign. She's clearly established. People really like her. And you're like, okay, great. Maybe Yuki gets the title and the promotion bombs from a drawing perspective. And you're like, oh, geez. You know, you could go back to Miyu. Having three reigns in this company is not the, you know, a death knell.
No.
For you, you know, break in case of emergency. But I would think there's going to be some moment when it's like Yuki, and then we've got to start establishing Yuki, and then the next person up is Suzume, and we got to get Suzume in, you know, and working these people in and doing whatever with them. But, you know, oh, Rika, I guess.
Oh, yeah, duh.
I was just thinking, oh, because what could you do with Miyu? I'm like, Miyu and Rika could tag together, and you could throw them back together and have them in the tag division. You know, as we've said, the tag division is not exactly teaming with hugely experienced teams.
Yeah.
You know, Mizuki and Uda could last a while there, or Miyu and, well, I guess Sakura Hattori now. So it's, I think it's a very, it's the first one in a long, not in a long time, but the first one in a while in Tokyo Joshi where I'm like, the result is going to be very interesting. Either way.
Yes, 100%. This really, I'm interested in damn near every match on this card.
I mean, it is a good card. It's well put together. Yeah, I think it's very well, and I'm interested to see what, you know, how many people they get and how it turns out, because you know, some of these bigger cards, now that they do them regularly, it feels like some of them sort of have started to fall into the position of like, oh, we got to put together another big show here. Like, let's just throw some stuff together. This does not feel like this. This feels mm-hmm. like we're trying to do something here. So very interesting. The biggest show, I would say, easily of the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Also happening, Marigold has two shows on the 28th and 29th of March. Mayu Iwatani will face off against Natsumi Shozuki in a double title match for both the GHC women's title and the Superfly title. And then Mai Sakurai, Natsumi Shozuki, and Irina Yamanaka will make their second defense of the trios titles against Sarah Yamaoka Shino and Yuka Yamazaki. In Sendai Girls, they have a show on the 26th. Mika Iwata and Miyuki Takase will face off against Mio Momono and Yurika Oka, Baba Momo Banana for the tag titles there. And Chihiro Hashimoto will face off against Minami for the Sendai Girls title. And Kelly, what is coming up in Chuckle Pro?
This will probably already have happened as you listen to this, but on the 23rd, Chuckle Pro has a show called The Promised. A lot going on here. You got a Super Asia title match with Rina Yamashita defending against Miyu Yatsuba. Mei Suruga is defending her Deadlock Pro Wrestling World Women's title against Soy. And then there is an Asia Dream tag title match. Sayaka Obahiro and Minoru Fujita versus Chie Koshikawa and Sayaka versus Yone Yamakao Lee and Chun Shiryu. The titles are currently vacant after Eggtarts had to surrender them because Hagane Shino needs knee surgery. So we'll see if Chie can take back the title that she just had to give up.
All right, and that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. So we have finally reached Kelly's Corner.
I haven't been up to much. I've just been playing a lot of Pocopia. I'm pretty sure I talked about that on the last episode, and that's pretty much all I've been doing. So I'm going to flip it around and turn it over to Taylor's time.
Flip it, turn it over to me?
Yeah, Taylor time.
Oh, God. well, I've been sick the last week, so I haven't been doing a lot. I saw the Who's Tommy in IMAX on Tuesday.
Oh.
Which I can't recommend because it was a one night only thing, so you can't go. But the IMAX near me is a legitimate full size, like science center size IMAX. So it's the nice real deal. And you're like, whoa. So that's really what I've been doing. And then other than that, I've been laying around trying not to be sick, which I recommend. Don't be sick.
Yeah, don't be sick.
That's my corner. Don't get
unless
sick.
You're sick.
Yeah, like the two of us.
Yeah, we're going to hit a kickflip.
So anyway, that is all for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. We will be back with you in 2 weeks' time for even more Joshi action. Until then, stay cool.
Have a great summer.
Wrestling Omakase brings you a full course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.